I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello guys, welcome back to what is the final episode of the Sports Sit Down. We're ending off the season here. It's been very enjoyable.
Roller coaster. There we go.
Back with Nathan and Joe again here to my side. Appreciate it, boys.
As always.
Yeah, wingmen. This week's mainly gonna just be about football. So a lot's been going on in terms of football, not much going on, especially with no F1.
Do you mean just the only thing? Yeah, the only thing we care about.
Yeah.
To put it politely.
No, obviously, no F1, no tennis. So a bit of a shame.
God, I've been upset this
time. We're going to kick it off with the FA Cup. I want to jump straight into a Watford versus Wolves, which was obviously the second semi-final. It took place on Sunday at Wembley. Ended 3-2 to Watford. Did we catch this, boys?
Nathan, I did. I saw the highlights, and I saw the last 20 minutes of the second half.
No, I saw the highlights because I was busy that day.
What were you doing?
I was doing another podcast with our friend.
Adam, okay, let's skip that.
Yeah, we don't like that guy.
Yeah. No, I thought it was one of the best games of the season, to be honest.
Yeah.
Later on in the podcast, we're going to be talking about certain awards, what we'd give to certain, like, maybe games or players. And this definitely was up there with one of the classic games of the FA Cup, if you will.
What a cameo Delafay had.
Yeah.
Off the bench towards, you know, the halfway end, second half, and then...
And what a first goal as well.
Injured, yeah. Rolled his ankle.
Oh, his first goal. Amazing.
I don't know how he does it. Beautiful. He somehow does it with very little backlift. Has to bend it round the player to even think about trying to challenge the keeper. Have we ever scored one of these on the school playground when we were younger boys?
Maybe with those, you know, the real soft air.
Oh, yeah.
The one where just, if you got your school shoes on, just 99 curve and 99 absolute pace on them. But yeah, Delafay was shielding. They used the player to sort of shield the goalkeeper and ball so he could just curl in.
Yeah,
it was like a grandfather clock swinging back and forth, wasn't it?
Yeah, well,
what a simile that is.
obviously, Wolves, Nuno, the manager, stuck with their cut rotation policy of playing John Ruddy in goal. Did we think that, in, you know, had they had Patricio in, it might have been a bit of a different outcome, because he has been pretty solid for them, coming on a free transfer from Sporting in the summer.
But Watford also played Aurelio Gomez, and he pulled off some great saves in the game, so
yeah.
I think Ben Foster's come out and said he'd refuse to start and would let Gomez start.
Yeah.
Which they are now in the final.
Wolves were 2-0 up until the 79th minute, as we said, Delafeu coming on to score that great goal. And I think he just really added a bit of pace to the attack. As good as Deeney is, his main strength is his strength and hold up play. When you've got runners like Delafeu, it really does make a difference to, you know, stretch that Wolves defence.
It is a really good if Watford go on to win the final against City, which I don't know about what your feelings are, I think it's probably quite doubtful that they'll win it though. It'll be a true, I don't know, maybe fairy tale or redemption arc for Deeney after the whole like prison scandal. Was it in the 2014 or 15? It was.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago.
In the championship,
He was in, was he either in prison or he got sentenced.
He was in prison.
It was for like a year and a bit, weren't it?
Watch the True Geordie
podcast. Yeah, I've seen that
with Deeney on.
Yeah, I really rate some of the analysis and insightful comments that he gives. Like after the game, he's really honest. Man, I think it's good to see when a footballer's like that.
What was the comments he made?
He's like, "Skimmy." Well, I know that after this game, he went.
Remember after the
Cajonas, like they got no, and that's who they're playing next on Monday. So and after this game, he came out and when he was talking to the BT Sport panel, he said pretty much just said, "Give me a contract now. What are you waiting for?" You don't really get many players that are openly saying that to the club, do you?
He took his penalty well as well, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, again though, he was open to or yeah, exposed to racist criticism on Twitter.
Was he?
Afterwards, yeah. From, I think it was from Wolves fans, which I think they're following up with the police from it again. So it's out of order. Bad to see.
Yeah.
A
bit bored of all this racism.
I think it's worth essentially touching on it quickly.
Oh, what was his name? Was it, did you see on Sky Sports? Oh, it was Gordon something.
Gordon Strachan.
Yeah, he's been sacked from Sky Sports.
Really?
Because he compared Adam Johnson's return to football. It was similar to, I think we may have touched upon it a couple of weeks ago with the whole racism stuff about how is it all right for any abuse to be all right on a football field? And he was saying that, I think it was along the lines of, if Adam Johnson, if someone like shouts something like Kiddie Fiddler, for yeah. example, at Adam Johnson, that's as bad as someone shouting.
No, because he's actually, like, as much as you probably shouldn't say it because you're provoking an argument.
He basically he's
in the wrong.
He compared paedophilia to racism.
And also, you got to think about.
To put it bluntly. Accurately as well.
Yeah, which obviously, I think Sam Allardyce just looked, because he was on the debate with him,
yeah.
he just looked completely shot by it. Like the entire puzzle, everyone yeah. just looked
he
like
probably just thinking about what he's going to be having from the chip shop later on. Pie and chips, sausage,
bit of gravy,
yeah, definitely a bit of gravy on that.
But yeah, I think those comments are quite remarkable, to be fair, because as much you shouldn't compare them, and especially when someone's actually guilty of something, whereas Deeney, you know, this is an unprovoked attack, he's just applying his trade and he's getting unfairly abused, whereas Johnson, we've seen, has been guilty of the act. How can you,
it's even more with I know we're on racism yet again, fun topic, but in Italy as well earlier this week,
Keane,
yeah, for Juve, and then even his manager and the captain Benucci, came out and said, oh, it's 50% his fault.
Yeah,
it's shocking,
which is ridiculous, right?
Like he was getting racist abused all game before, like, and the way he celebrated, he can celebrate however he bloody well wants to after that.
Yeah, and you're bloody well right there.
Yeah, I was bloody well, yeah. And Benucci was like,
bloody well.
He's provoked them, so he's sort of getting what he deserves. But
no one deserves racism, do they?
For your captain to be saying that, no wonder there's like racism in football, especially in Italy as well.
Yeah,
Italia.
Yeah. Let's get back to the Watford Wolves game then. Watford have now won 19 games in all competitions this season, which is the most in a top flight. Being in top flight in a single campaign since 86-87, where they won 23. And Deeney has scored in both his FA Cup semi-final appearances when he obviously did it against Palace in 2016. So, stepping up on the big occasions, isn't it?
When Palace went 1-0 up against, was it Arsenal or was it City? And Alan Pardew then did a little...
Oh, Arsenal, I think, yeah.
Did you see his penalty though? I thought he got a quite from the original angle. It looked like a bloody amazing penalty.
But Ruddy, it had just gone over.
It didn't even look like it had gone over. It kind of just, the goalkeeper was too early. If you can be, like, his hands were just slightly. It was savable. It wasn't like an amazing penalty by any means.
Yeah. Perhaps should be doing better. I wouldn't want to be the person in that situation.
So it doesn't matter how you score in mode, does it?
No.
So who was good in this game? Apart from Delafeu, Matt Doherty, I thought, had a really good game.
Yeah, scored again.
I think he didn't get the assist for him and his.
Yeah, I think so.
He took that well as well, didn't he? With a wrestling mask.
Yeah.
I don't like it when they put masks on. I really don't like
care
it.
Care to explain?
I just don't see the point. I really don't. I just think it's an unnecessary thing, in my opinion.
When players are doing backflips and all that sort of thing, or Alan Shearer's raising his hand, would you rather just like walk and casually?
No, I'm not getting rid of celebrations in general.
Spice.
I just mean picking up a mask or getting a t-shirt off the floor and putting it on. Like,
so even if it's like where they're wearing an underarm, like where we've seen, like, no to racism,
that's a bit different, because often there, yeah, that's for a reason, isn't it?
But when Balotelli revealed
why was me
again? I weren't a massive
he scored with his shoulder.
I weren't a massive fan of that. There's a difference. Like the difference between Sterling doing it against, was it Montenegro?
Yeah.
Against Montenegro. There's a difference between him doing that for a kid who's died of leukemia to him putting on a wrestling mask for no absolute reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, who was it? Was it Aubameyang who did it?
He used to do
with
it.
Black Panther.
Yeah, and used to do Batman as well at Dortmund. So, City versus Brighton, not as entertaining as it was.
It looked like it was just going to be City absolutely hammering them. Because I think, did I tell you that Brighton only got like 15 passes in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And City were already 1-0 up by that time. So I thought it was just going to be a 4-5-0. But Brighton, did they keep them at bay after that?
Yeah, it was just 1-0, finished 1-0.
Brighton gave it everything, like gave it a good go, but it just wasn't enough against City, was it?
Only got 5 shots, so I think two were on target, maybe. I know that Aymeric Laporte got man of the match. Otamendi won something like 13 aerial duels as well. So those two were pretty solid at the back for City, which will please Guardiola, obviously going into tonight's game versus Tottenham in the Champions League and then the rest of the Premier League season as well. City have become the 9th different team to reach both major domestic English Cup finals within the same season. Quadruple, will it happen?
Could still happen, couldn't it?
I think Barcelona will probably be their biggest undoing. I'm presuming in that
they'll get a shout out to Spurs tonight then.
Well, I just don't think I think Tottenham might have might stand a bit more of a chance at home. But
is it Etihad tonight?
I think is it Tottenham tonight? I can't remember.
Check BBC Sport. Yeah.
Do you want me to have funny? It is. Yeah, you're right. It's Etihad tonight.
Yeah.
I remember also at Etihad again at the weekend for Premier League.
Oh, they're playing Tottenham at the weekend as well.
Like 3 times in 10 days or something.
Well, they've got City. They've got Tottenham.
They're playing Palace at the weekend, aren't they?
Who?
City, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong.
No, it's not. Okay.
Oh no, no. Yeah, I was right. It is at Tottenham's ground tonight.
There we go.
Sorry, I was looking a week ahead.
Sorry to confuse you there, guys.
Yeah, Joe
hadn't done his research.
I was reading things. Oh. And I'm obviously presuming Barca will beat Man United in that as well.
Some people wouldn't be happy with that comment.
Some people wouldn't.
That's probably the Champions League game I'm looking most forward to, I think, Barca United.
No, I think Porto versus Liverpool
thriller.
Cracking game.
Yeah.
Quickly, Porto, Liverpool. Well, I think it's Liverpool, Porto tonight. Obviously, Anfield, a bit of a fortress. Liverpool to win it?
Easily.
I think so.
They've got if they don't get into the semis, it will be disgrace. Because they should easily. They've got the easiest draw. I would love it if they got to. Oh, I wouldn't love it, but like.
I'd hate it.
Love it if they lost.
We'll
but
quick thing here. I know a lot of people like, oh, it's really good to see loads of English teams into the quarterfinals and whatever. Would you like to see an English team in the final that's not your own team?
I would like to see both English teams. I'd like to see a full English. Just because.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because. I was loving it when Bale was ripping.
I want my beans and my sausages and taking away my egg.
Oh, fair enough.
Get some more bacon in there. Personal fried taste. Bread.
What was I saying there before you went about your breakfast? But I loved it when Bale ripped Liverpool apart last season. And I'd love to see teams rip the English ones apart again.
Ooh. Right.
Mr. My team is in the Europa League, so I'm going to hate on all other English teams.
Come on, boys. Anyway, City obviously now have to turn their attention, as we said, to Champions League and Premier League. Brighton, on the other hand, have to focus on Premier League safety. They've got a game against Bournemouth at the weekend, so that's going to be massive. As Eddie Howe said after their game at the weekend, by no means are they safe. Football, talking of Premier League, boys, I know you covered, looked at some of the games. What went on?
Hazard
went on.
Oh, yeah.
On a mad run, didn't he?
He did.
First goal took on about 5 players. Did you enjoy the goal?
I did, to be fair. I'm not going to lie.
I gave it a cheeky like on Twitter when I saw you posted it, Nathan.
It's probably the best goal of the season, isn't it?
Joe might argue differently.
What, in Premier League?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the...
candidates.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they've done it yet, to be fair.
Yeah, to be able to tell you. In whole of English football, I wouldn't say so, but
Billy Sharp's got to be up there.
No, actually, I'd actually as a United fan, I'd probably say Adam Reach has scored a lot of.
Big shout out to Wednesday boys.
Harry Wilson as well.
Yeah,
scored some good goals.
Scored some good goals this season. But anyway, back to what you're saying. Definitely from a solo goal standpoint, and from like a technical standpoint, it was one of the best we've seen as of late in the Premier League. Funny.
Convincing win against West Ham.
Yeah, good to see Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek back in the starting
definitely
lineup. Emerson and Christensen as well. Loftus-Cheek, from all accounts, had like a really good, solid game. Offers a lot more than Barkley and Kovacic at this moment in time from midfield. It's going to be difficult for Chelsea if they lose Hazard this summer, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pulisic coming in, and it would mean Hudson-Odoi more playing time, but not being able to sign any player, like world-class players, is going to, you know, if he does leave, it's going to be, even if he's still here, we need to
improve.
I've
seen some stuff about Kepa potentially leaving as well.
Where would he go?
I've seen something about Real Madrid possibly being interested.
Oh, because apparently Zidane's on about selling
all our goals. Why can't they sign Rob Green? Did you see Rob Green in training?
No.
I think there was a video on Instagram or whatever. He makes Marcus Alonso, and then all the players literally jumped on Rob Green.
He should be in the starting 11, to be fair.
Oh, man.
He'd get in United.
God.
Liverpool also got a win away at Southampton after going down 1-0. 3-1 it was. Salah, yeah, scoring.
50th,
yeah. Obviously, I haven't scored in his previous eight. so he'll be glad to get that under his belt going into the Champions League game tonight. And they do currently lead City, don't they, by, is it 2 points?
It's either a point or two.
I think it's 2 points. And then
whatever,
City obviously
they've
win.
Got to get...
yeah, they played a game
two
extra.
2 points, yeah.
Yeah. Thought I was right first time. But yes, Southampton's still floating around near the bottom. Any other notable games?
Everton beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. It was 1-0. But that is now... Everton have now kept clean sheets against Liverpool, Chelsea and Arsenal, which is quite a feat for a team who bottled it a couple of weeks ago against Newcastle. Obviously... maybe that shook Pickford up a bit, made him realise that he can't act like an... Well, I say that, he's gone...
Yeah, and he went out in
went
Sunderland.
And had a fight, yeah. But can't act like an arrogant dickhead on the on the pitch.
That different word there, yeah, change your mind,
we really don't condone that. But yeah, Everton hit some good form, and the next game is at the weekend against Fulham away, so they'll be fancying their chances in that one as well, climbing the league. It's not, you know, not... like they could easily get sixth as well.
Sixth?
Yeah.
No, they couldn't.
Yeah, they could.
They definitely could not.
Oh, yes, they could.
Get sixth?
Oh, no, yeah, they could.
Oh, seventh, sorry.
I was about to say.
Seventh. Well, with United's form, you never know. But
yeah,
I
mean, it doesn't matter if they're under Mourinho or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, they're always going to be sixth, aren't they?
Mm. Oh, someone would not like that if they were here. If Adam Westwood was here, he would not like it. But yeah, Everton could most definitely get seventh. Yeah. Obviously with Watford maybe putting more focus on FA Cup at the end of the
there's
season.
There's also Leicester as well to contend
yeah,
with.
So quite competitive in that sort of area as well, from top six below to the middle.
There wasn't really much else. There was a nice little story with Huddersfield. I don't know if you saw it, about the girl with cancer from America, yeah, who I can't remember what their...
Aaron Moy.
Yeah. She had cancer, I think, in the World Cup last year. She was having treatment for her cancer. And she turned the TV on, and this was in like America, and it was Australia playing. So obviously, what was it? Mooey. What does a cow say? Mooey. But like,
favorite moment of the podcast there.
Yeah, moo. Anyway, getting back to the sad story, or the happy story, whichever way you look at it. And she saw him playing for Australia, saw that he was bald and everything. I was like, oh, he's just like, this is genuinely what it was, by the way. I'm not paraphrasing. And she was like, oh, he's just like me type thing. And
show her our good friend Dan and Bond.
And it made her feel comfortable not having to wear a wig or anything like that. So her dad put it on Facebook or something, and then Huddersfield got in contact with her, brought her over. So even though they lost, it was still nice to see.
Nice touch.
Yeah. It was nice to see that he scored. And it was, I think, Huddersfield were the last team in the league which needed to win a penalty, for all 20 teams to have won penalties this season.
First
Yeah.
Wow.
Juice.
How many have Liverpool had this season?
Plenty. Palace have had quite a few as well, about 10.
Yeah, Milivojevic just popping them in all the time,
isn't he? He is, to be fair. As he did this weekend against Newcastle. But yeah, unless there's any other... Well, you want to talk about Championship?
Do you want to talk about Norwich quickly, Nathan? I'm sure you've got a lot to talk about there.
QPR, didn't they sacked McLaren a few weeks back? Was it last,
week?
It was sometime. It was early last week.
Yeah, not a few weeks back.
It was after the loss to Bolton last Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a comfortable half 12 kickoff performance against QPR at home. Brandia, Steepman, and Tooth Pookie. So standard stuff for Norwich, going strong at the top of the table.
They've definitely won it, haven't they? Like I know they technically haven't yet, but
like 7 points above.
Yeah. United.
They've built some like a good lead on the chasing pack.
Yeah, they're definitely going up. They'd have to really choke.
Cheers, Jeff.
They'd definitely have to really choke it in these last six games. Yeah, proper choke on it. Yeah.
What about United? How did they do?
United got a 1-0 away win at Preston. It was a crucial win, especially because Leeds dropped points against Birmingham, which was quite a shock result. Birmingham aren't doing really that well. It was McGoldrick again, which I think it's either the seventh or eighth time. I think it's seventh time this season where he's scored the match winner. So he's proved to be a very crucial part of United's squad, especially as he came in from on a free transfer from Ipswich, who he'd been with for like 5 years and not really done much with, only getting a mere 100 appearances in 5 years. Yeah, as I said, it was standard. It was good support from the away fan from a United standpoint, as in like I think just under 6,000 fans went, which is a decent
that
turnout.
Is a very good away
following. It's in the Championship especially, and they've now got. It's funny because Leeds dropped points in that match, not in that match, in their match this weekend against
Birmingham,
and then this weekend coming they've got Preston away and United have got Birmingham away, so hopefully United can. Not do what Leeds did and lose to Birmingham, because at the moment, after that little shake-up last week with Bristol, United are back to keeping clean sheets and back to their winning ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was some quite a few odd results that affected the chasing pack for that sort of the fifth and sixth places.
Oh yeah.
So even though I'm going to say they're in their chance, but realistically probably not. Forest lost 2-1 away at Rotherham, which is quite embarrassing.
Good from a Rotherham standpoint.
Yeah, obviously near the bottom.
They nearly pulled themselves out of the bottom three now. So
obviously the other Sheffield side Wednesday lost 3-1 at home to Villa.
They were a bit unlucky there, to be fair.
How come?
It was a very even game, and it was against Steve Bruce's old side, obviously.
Yeah.
So it'd probably been nice for him to at least get a result out of it, and they were a bit hard done. Don't think they really deserved a loss. We conceded twice in extra time. In the second half, but I think they definitely probably deserved a draw out of it at least.
Well, it probably means that Wednesday don't really have a chance of creeping
it's
in. Villa having a stronger case for getting into those two remaining spots, especially helped by Derby, who drew 3-3 away at Brentford.
That was a good game.
And West Brom, massive shock, losing 2-0 away at the Den.
The biggest bottlers of the season, though, goes to Middlesbrough at the moment.
3-1 away at Swansea.
I think that's their fifth or sixth consecutive loss, which is... Is it fifth or sixth?
Yeah, it's something like that.
That, which is probably about 15 points they've lost in total. And if they'd have got them, like, say, half of them 15 points, they'd have been 3 or 4 points clear of Villa. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of results which they probably needed to go their way, and I don't think they've been against particularly hard teams. And they've actually, I say that, I've just looked at their results.
Played against Norwich, didn't they?
They lost against Norwich, but they've also been losing against possible promotion rivals, so like Villa, Bristol. They lost against United a couple of about 2 months ago, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Bristol City dropped.
Yeah. Didn't they? 2-2 against Wigan. I think it was a late equaliser from Wigan as well.
Yeah, they've still got a game in hand.
We should put them that'd put them above Villa. I don't know who their game in hand's against, do you?
Chelsea youngster Reece James for Wigan scored.
It's a weird team for them to be against.
Scored a beautiful. What?
He's mugged you there.
I went.
Sorry, I was just dreaming about Chelsea youngster Reece James, who scored a 30-yard swerving shot, which was nice to see from.
You keep dreaming, boy. Go on, carry on.
I would like to see him at Chelsea next season.
Yeah, well, we could definitely do with some backup reinforcements to Aspilicueta.
Bristol's game in hand against Millwall away.
Well, yeah, obviously there's games happening tonight and tomorrow. We won't talk about them just because we could be here for quite a while.
Yeah, God forbid that happen.
Yeah, so as it's the last episode of this semester anyway, obviously it'd be nice to come back after in second year and have another, you know, get going again with it. Yeah. We just thought we'd do a bit of a season review. So match of the season. Boys, start us off, Joe.
Well, I had a few contenders. Obviously, my memory's not fantastic in terms of looking back at the season in whole. And this is just in... I based mine in English football. One of my potential ones was the United-Villa game earlier this year, which was 3-0, where Villa scored 3 goals in 8 minutes. And not only was it a good comeback from a Villa standpoint, but from a United fan, it's what sparked their 7 consecutive clean sheets, which obviously... has really boosted their chances of promotion. And it was just an all-round good game. It was a hat-trick for Sharp, which obviously was very good from a United standpoint. And then Villa showed good character to come back in the last 10 minutes. My overall game of the season actually happened this weekend, though. It was Watford-Wolves, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, the FA Cup semi-final. I thought it was, in terms of English football, it was one of the more memorable semi-finals as of late, because I know City beat Burton 9-0, but it wasn't a great game. It was just pure domination by City, whereas this, at least Wolves shouldn't be downhearted by their performance, because I thought they performed up until like that Watford sparked that comeback. Wolves had put like nothing wrong in that game, in my opinion. And then if we were talking about, I don't know if any of you use international, like Champions League games?
I personally didn't. I thought it was, as you said, just English games. But I would say potentially PSG versus United second leg.
Yeah.
Just, you know, everyone's well aware of how young United squad was that they took out there. They were kind of going with very little hope. Careful. After the 2-0.
Adam Johnson will be around.
Lovely. Obviously, the 2-0 loss they had in the first leg. But yeah, really memorable night for them. Nathan?
My game of the season is from like January, I think. Wolves 4, Leicester 3. And I think Wolves scored 2 quite early goals, Hotter and Bennett, and then just after half time, Leicester brought it back to 2-2. Then it went 3-2, and then last 10 minutes were just like wild. Wes Morgan scoring in the 87th minute.
Big Wes.
Like 90+3, Hotter completed his hat-trick, and it was just a really open end-to-end game.
What a player Hotter's been as well.
He's been very hot.
Call that one. God, this is getting hotter and hotter, isn't it? Yeah.
Take off for your clue.
Isn't it something like, I think he's had 36 goal involvements since he signed in 2017, that transfer window. So,
wowzers.
Yeah. I've also, just some other worth mentioning, Chelsea 2, United 2, back in October. Obviously, Mourinho and the assistant for Chelsea, Marco Ianni, got a bit spicy there after Barclays 96th minute equaliser. I thought it was end-to-end game as well, so it went 1-0 Chelsea into half-time. I think United got one on half-time through Martial, took the lead, and then Barclay, as I said, you know, of all people, you weren't expecting him to pop up. Norwich 3, Forest 3. I think it was Boxing Day. I'm trying to base it off the games that I did watch, just because some of them I could say are because of the scoreline, but I personally might not have watched them. Obviously, Forest were 3-0 up, chucked it away, and Norwich came back, really showing resilience and sort of the calibre you need to win the championship.
It really depends on how you define a good game, is it really? Because something like City 6, Chelsea 1 wasn't as good a game, because Chelsea got absolutely battered.
You want something that's
It was nice to see teams like Bournemouth, though, hammer Chelsea as well. What?
You said 6-1.
Oh, was it 6-0? Yeah. It was 6-0. Oh, wow. But I remember it was Bournemouth 4 as well. Chelsea 0.
Quickly, we can move on, the better.
Ajax 4, Real Madrid 1 as well.
Yeah, Tadic definitely.
The show.
Who was?
Tadic.
All right, yeah.
It's been way too close to my mouth.
There we go. Also, you might have forgotten about this one. Villa 5, Forest 5.
What?
Yeah, earlier in the season.
Look at this.
Yeah. 28th of November.
Wait, it went Notts Forest here.
Sorry?
We're talking about Notts Forest.
Yeah, Villa versus Forest, yeah.
Oh, wow.
What forest was that, Joe?
Notts Forest. Oh. Notts Forest, isn't it?
Shout out to the Nottingham Forest fans.
The tens of them.
Gunfingers if you're from Nottingham. So,
oh, yeah,
in that game, it was 2-0 to Forest after 6 minutes. Abraham actually got four in this game, so he got two back in 11th and 14th. Then Matty Cash scored for Forest, 22nd minute. Then a 36th minute penalty from Abraham equaled it up to going into half time. Joe Lolly scored, making it 4-3.
Lolly.
And then Abraham got another goal, and El Ghazi did. And then Forest, just before that, were actually 5-3 up after Figueiredo scored. Forest totally, were definitely the weaker team here. They had eight shots, five on target, so you could say clinical. Whereas Villa had 26 shots, 12 on target, with a 63% possession. For me, that's got to be up there, definitely. Just because how often do you see 10 goals in a game? And when, it's just going from one team winning to the other, to it being a draw. I also want to say Spurs, when they beat United at Old Trafford back in August, masterclass from Pochettino, putting Lucas Moura up front with Kane, caused too much havoc for United's defence. The speed combined with Kane's hold-up play and physicality. I think people really started hoping that, touting Tottenham to challenge for the title at that point. A few games in, going to United, beating them 3-0. Obviously, it's not worked out for them, but yeah, I think that was a noteworthy game.
Recent one from about 7 days ago, live. It was 3 on, I think, ITV4. Villarreal versus Barcelona.
Okay.
4-4.
Yeah.
It started off 2-0 Barca, then it was brought back to 4-2, and then Messi scored, I think, a free kick, and then Suarez banged in the last one to equalise 4-4.
Yeah, banged it in, didn't he, half?
Banged.
Did you see the video of Cazorla at the weekend crying?
What was he crying about?
So
his Arsenal career.
No, Villarreal lost, lost last minute to Real Betis, or Celta Vigo, I think it was. Both of those two fighting for to stay in the league. And you can see him visibly really upset that, his boyhood team, Villarreal, could be going down.
The opposite side, Iago Aspas.
Yeah.
Come back from injury and is doing everything he can to keep him up, isn't he?
But he did get a booking in the game at the weekend after he scored the winner, after he took his shirt off in that game, meaning that he misses the game of Atletico Madrid. So, kind of a silly one to get, but I guess emotion and,
back to the old Joey celebration debacle. Taking
his shirt off. How dare he? Go to Spearmint Rhino if you could do that, kiddo. Tony. I want to talk about our favourite moment of the season. So I'll start it off. I've got Spygate, obviously, with Bielsa.
Wait, are we on about in real life? Or I thought we were on about
sport. No, we're on about FIFA.
I thought we were on about sport. Sit down. Real favourite moment.
I think we'll leave that till the end, Joe. Just the pinnacle.
That'll be the pinnacle of it.
Right,
a couple of moments.
Yeah, so I think Spygate, where Marcelo Bielsa and Leeds obviously sent out the spy to see, check up on Frank Lampard's training sessions at Derby. Obviously, once it was discovered, caused massive storm in the press. And obviously, it led to the game on the Friday night, where Leeds did play Derby at Elland Road. And that, I remember that being quite an entertaining game as well. I think Leeds nicked it, something like 3-2. Also, I've got Kepa versus City in the Carabao Cup. I think you kind of have to mention that. Obviously, not a good moment, but really one that left you, shell-shocked.
It's like one of the most shocking moments I've ever seen in football.
Yeah.
Outright refusing to come off.
Yeah.
And Sarri was not happy.
He thought he was a goon, yeah, basically.
Yeah, goon, really, Kepa.
Yeah. Joe?
I had a couple. One was when Mourinho got sacked and they brought in Solskjaer.
Hey,
you said
getting
it.
Getting close.
Okay. Because of the 12 undefeated run he went on.
Went well, that didn't it? Still in sixth.
Oh, And again, if a United fan was in the room, they'd not be happy.
They would not be happy. I think they'd be livid right now.
Throwing the Tauruses around.
Yeah, throwing the Tauruses around. Not happy whatsoever. But I went with the same moment what the EFL Awards gave out early this week for Billy Sharp becoming the leading goal scorer in English league football.
That was a massive moment, to be fair.
Beating Ricky Lambert's total of, I think Ricky Lambert's total was 219 off the top of my head.
What is it for this decade? Or this
it's
century?
This century, yeah. So, and that was against Wigan on I think New Year's Day. Just quite a nice personal achievement. Obviously, in English league football, I presume that means in Premier League as well, doesn't it? English league.
Yeah.
I would presume. It's because EFL, I mean English football. Yeah, anyway.
Thought you would have known if it was such a big moment, but you know, we'll carry on.
No, it was just a very
basically you were in floods of tears.
Yeah, I was crying my eyes out, Josh. Yeah.
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 Another one is the Jordan Pickford against Liverpool.
Yeah, definitely.
We should have created another category called like Howler of the season or something because
there's just gonna be Pickford in it and Lloris.
No, but I mean, as in like moment of the season suggests something more like.
It doesn't mean good.
No, but I mean something like.
It can be good or bad.
Something like Kepa or something like that. If we'd have had like something more negative, like.
So next time we'll do positive and negative moments of the season.
Just to please all our fans and Joe. Yeah. Shout out as well. Quite shocking that Zidane came back. Not massive, but I just think that. The fact that they've gone back to him suggests a little bit of
desperation.
Yeah, desperation.
No, moments of the season.
Unfortunately not. It's only just early into
my
the season.
My favourite F1. Oh, wait, that comes into the end when we're talking about our favourite sports sit down moments of the season.
Players of the season. We're going to do Premier League and Championship.
I went.
BBC Sport. What they got?
Yeah, that's what I went with.
Yeah,
I went with BBC.
What is Shidgetson?
I DM'd him on Twitter. I went, Mr. Savage, who do you think has been the player of the season? No, I was. I put Sterling down as my player of the season. He's also. I'm going to spoil it now. He's also. I'm pretty sure we were discussing this before. We think that the rule with young player is if they are 23 at the start of the season, they can be a contender for it. I've also got Sterling down for my young player of the season as well. I think, spoiler, you are. I know, but anyway, I just think he's. He just seems a bit like he's maybe matured a bit this season in his performances. Not just obviously this is in the Premier League, but also for England as of late. Off the pitch, he's been quite a good, especially regarding all this racism stuff.
Vocal, like an ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah, for like advocates. Stuff like, he's also got 15 goals and 11 assists, which is also key to mention. So not only is he scoring goals, he's also creating them for. Probably Aguero is a lot of where the goals have gone. In a close second, I said Van Dijk because it'd be nice to see a defender win it because John Terry was the last defender who won it in 2004. Van Dijk is he's been a very strong centre back. 16 clean sheets, just a strong performance overall. To be fair,
yeah, I've pretty much just put Van Dijk and Aguero. Van Dijk, like you said, solid at the back. Without him, they wouldn't have, you know, they would have shipped many more goals. Aguero, just think, I don't know how this guy hasn't had more recognition by the league. I don't know if it's still the case, but there's something about how he's not. I don't know if he's not been in any of the team of the seasons before or something like that. Aguero.
Last season might have been the first.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Like the fact that that last season. Was the first time this year he's got to be in it.
I think something going back to Van Dijk is as well. I don't know. I saw a quote from him. I can't remember who it was about, but his mind. It was a quote about. It was something like he was in a 2-on-1 situation
against Spurs. Was it?
It might have been. Sissoko, yeah, yeah. And Son. And he pushed him, and he knew that he should push him to shoot into the. Yeah, and I just thought in that moment, in
that intense atmosphere.
Yeah, such a quick, split second thought. Him being able to think like that it shows such a strong and
it's intelligence,
well developed footballing mind.
Yeah,
Which it's always nice to see.
And any top class player has to have, rather than just being, you know, skillful or good at their craft, they have to be able to think about the game as well.
Yeah.
For Championship, I haven't been able to watch as much as perhaps you guys have. I've put Pukki, the Norwich striker.
Same.
Top scorer. I don't really think you can argue against it.
No.
He's also my Championship signing of the season as well, on a free from Brøndby in Denmark. I think he's now 26 goals in 33 games. He like always stays on the pitch to the end of the game because they just know he might score a late goal, and just he always seems to score late goals.
Yeah, same with me. He's got the second highest goals per minute in the league at 126 minutes. He scores a goal. Second highest to Billy Sharp, but
get that in
there. That was who I had as my runner up as player of the season, Sharp, and I don't think that can really be disputed. I don't know about you two. Nathan, would you challenge that?
No, I would not challenge.
No, I think it's fair point to be
fair. I completely agree. Pukki's been the standout player for Norwich this season in a team which have performed exceptionally well so far. So
yeah, young player of the season. Let's start off with Championship to mix up a bit. There's a few candidates I've got here. I've got Che Adams from Birmingham, the forward. I've got Harry Wilson from Derby, and Jared Bowen from Hull as well. People might say, "Oh, Jared Bowen, you know, Hull, they're not really up, you know, fighting for promotion." But say he's got 25 goal involvements in 40 games. That's a great record for a side that aren't near the top as well. I think it was when they were going down from the Premier League, Marcus Silva came in and started playing Bowen. Looked like a decent player, but he looks more like a utility man on the right. I think he started playing centrally more this season under Adkins. I don't know if he's still there. Che Adams, 25 goal involvements in 40 as well. Wilson, obviously, is a winger or attacking midfielder, so he's not going to have as many, but 14 goal involvements in 33 games. And just some of the goals he scored, I think against Man United in the Carabao Cup earlier in the season. I remember there's been a few long-range shots and free kicks, which, you know, I'm sure, especially against United, he would have loved being a Liverpool player. Who would you guys...
I've got the same.
Like him and Jamal Lewis, as a full-back combination, it's like the Championship equivalent of Robertson and Alexander-Arnold. Just like the width and like attacking sort of drive they provide. Yeah, I think Max Aaron, I think it's only 19 or something, only came into it this season, but he's been brilliant.
Yeah, Joe?
I went Max Aarons as well, same reasons as Nathan. Nene.
Yeah.
As Nene went, yeah.
Premier League?
I've already said Sterling, I've already outlined why.
Nathan?
If that rule 23 at the start of the season applies, I'd say Sterling. But honourable mentions, Bernardo Silva as well.
I think okay.
23 at the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely worth a mention.
He came into the team when De Bruyne was injured as a centre midfielder, like one of their outstanding players, especially first half of the season.
Work rate as well. No one, when he was at Monaco, everyone knew he was a flair player, attacking midfielder. No one knew that he would put such a shift in. Who was it against? Was it against Liverpool where he ran the most, 13 and a half kilometres? So he really does put a shift in. For me, I've gone with Sterling just because he got 29 goal involvements in 33. I think he's had to deal with so much with the racism and off the field, you know, newspaper articles and stuff like that, to then be able to perform to that high level as well, and also doing it in the Champions League.
And like, he's now started doing it for England as well.
Yeah, England, Champions League, Premier League. It'd have to be him, but I think it's worth giving a shout out to Ben Chilwell at Leicester. Really staked his claim in that England side left back, and then Aaron Wan-Bissaka for Palace as well, who I think is in line for a big summer move if Palace let him go.
I'd also mention David Brooks
from Bournemouth.
Came up from the Championship, probably about 10-12 million from
Sheffield United.
Just punch a mic.
Joe's just upset that he, you know,
yeah, sorry, I got a bit excited about United and just punch a mic.
But yeah, Brooksy's come in and he's looked amazing, like he's been in the Premier League for years.
Well, he's been playing with Premier League standard players, hasn't he, at Sheffield United. So
moving on to the next topic.
He's used to it, isn't he? Signing of the season.
Signing of the season. For me,
are we going in Premier League first?
Yeah, Premier League. I'm looking at a few candidates. I've got noted down here Ben Foster, who obviously came from West Brom to Watford. Obviously, he made it in my team of the season. So obviously, I had him on my mind.
Ben Foster.
Yeah.
Good call.
Cheers, mate. Vicente Gaita from Palace. Ricardo Pereira at Leicester, who came from Porto, and Felipe Anderson for West Ham. You guys, what are you saying?
A toss up between João Moutinho, 5 mil, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And Raúl Jiménez, who has now been signed permanently but was brought on a loan.
Yeah. What do we think to that?
Absolute bargains, them two. We're absolute bargains.
Is there a bit of weirdness with Wolves getting Moutinho for so cheap? 5 million? Is there a bit of...
I just don't think many people...
Is there a bit of Mendes working his magic?
Obviously, it is helpful, but...
Big George.
I don't think a lot of people would have like thought he could cut it in the Prem, because he's like a slick passer of the ball and like moves the ball about fast and that, but maybe a lot of people thought he's
physicality
bit, and yeah, he's not as like strong or imposing as some other people, but yeah, he's been brilliant.
Yeah. Joe?
I similar to Nathan, I also went for a controversial one. Don't know if it really counts. For Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Oh boy.
Solskjaer. For Man United, because he turned their season around. I don't know if we are allowed to have managers in there for signing.
I mean, I'd allow it, but...
Allow it.
If there was one player that you'd have to talk about who signed in the summer...
Jimenez? Yeah.
Reasons being?
Nathan's just outlined them for me.
BBC Sport sort that one right out.
Yeah, so for me...
Don't reveal your sources.
I think I'll have to go for Ben Foster.
Good
Ben
call.
Foster. Yeah, good call. I just think, obviously...
I'm going to say it again. Next time he says Foster, good call.
When you look at that that side, it's really not blessed with like a lot of talent. And he keeps a lot of the attempts out. Like, they do have concede quite a few shots on the goal, Watford. And he's a big factor as to why they're so high. Ben.
Ben who?
Championship. Who? I've gone with Emiliano Buendia for Norwich, the attacking midfielder, 19 goal involvements in 35, and to say he signed from Getafe, I think it was about £1 million it cost them. Great signing for Norwich. What would you say about Buendia, Nathan?
Yeah,
is he up there with your signing of the season? Or
again, my signing of the season is Timu Pukki for free.
Ooh, Pukki.
Are we not trying to mix it up?
No, Pukki.
You're signing up a player like quality for free, and he's absolutely like shaking up Championship, and Norwich finally got the goal scorer they've been desperately seeking for like 3 or 4 seasons. What a player, what a signing, probably best free signing
well
in Championship in a long time.
You were one of, I wouldn't say a long time, possibly this season. For me, I had two. I had, are we saying loans count as signings?
Nathan, what are we saying? Loans count as signings? This guy always likes trying to bend the rules.
I know where
he's
going with this loan.
He knows where I'm going with this loan, because there's one word I need to say. I don't even need to say his last name.
Under-12s?
No, I can say, all right, allegedly. No, I'm going one of my signings of the season, Dean Henderson. I think he's just brought the consistency which United have lacked in net for a while.
Who was in goal before?
Was it Moore? I don't know. Moore.
I think that's what you were telling me yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember off the top of my head. I genuinely think it...
Yeah, because obviously he didn't watch them when they weren't doing as well. So.
Oh, it was between... The
people are waiting. Come on.
What? Oh, yeah, sorry, me. It was between... It was Moore. It was Moore and then Blackman at the start of the...
Jamal Blackman.
Either way, whichever I say, it's going to sound bad.
I didn't say that.
Blackman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Dino's kind of brought back... And he's also quite a big character. He's on loan from Man U at the moment. Yeah. And he's also got this... In 2019, he's got the most clean sheets out of any keeper across the top 5 UEFA leagues and the championship at 11, which is amazing. 11 in three in, well, it's probably about 3 months, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is pretty strong. And he obviously, they went on that 7 clean sheet run. As you see, my signing of the year is McGoldrick, who came in the summer of 2018 from Ipswich on a free transfer. I touched on it earlier, I think, didn't I? Yeah. And he scored the most match-winning goals in the championship.
I'm really surprised by how well he's done.
Maybe he just wasn't used to taking advantage of as much as he could have been at Ipswich. He was there for 5 years and he's already scored about a third of the goals he scored at Ipswich.
Well, in the first couple of seasons, I think he was quite solid, obviously, after signing from Forest. When I used to go and watch a few games, he didn't really, you know, wasn't as effective as he is right now.
He's
at
quite
United.
A good poacher of the ball. So yeah. Like off of a couple of his goals have been maybe off of saves from keepers, off of corners, which or a flick. He's flicked on a header or something like that. But you always need to have players like that because they're the ones who get you goals.
Yeah.
Him and Billy Sharp, I think, are also one of the leading strike duos in the championship. I don't know if I'm right in saying that, but I think they're up there.
Yeah, gotta be.
But they're my signings of the season.
Yeah. Nathan, have you said yours?
Yeah, Pookie, because he was like Pookie.
Yeah. I've got, as I said, I went Buendia just to mix it up a bit. I don't like to be repetitive. Right. Sports Sit Down, it's the final episode
Sports
at least of this
Sit Down moments of the season.
Yeah, what have we got?
Well, Nathan, do you want to start on some of yours? Because I think me and Nathan may have similar thoughts on this.
Well, I think the episode where it was just the dream team of Nathan and Joe, and there was the whole big...
We birthed the F1 love of Josh.
Yeah.
We unveiled it to the public.
The soapbox sagas.
Genuinely, guys, I wasn't meant to tell anybody about that. Josh had asked me for months.
I can confirm, yes.
For months not to tell anyone. And I went and said it. And luckily, Josh took it on the chin and didn't get embarrassed by it. It's always nice to see someone play along with the jokes like that.
Yeah, I appreciated it.
I also quite liked Josh wishing Gordon back, saying his condolences were with Gordon Banks. Yeah. Not his family, just Gordon Banks a couple of days after he'd passed. Always a nice thing to say.
Probably my best moment was when I just told Joe to fuck off. Funnily.
It had gotten to the stage where we'd done about 8 or 9 podcasts together and Nathan was just getting fuming.
He was fumed. I actually quite like the intro to our duo one about us at the pub quiz. That was quite a good one. Yeah. Josh, have you got any favourite moments?
Mine might have to be when we were doing our teams of the season. We go to Joe... expecting him to have done all his research and to go, Joe, who are your three midfielders? He lists off 2, which I think he nabbed 1 from me and maybe 1 from Nathan.
I didn't nab either. I already had
and
him
then,
in my head.
And
then probably 1 from
BBC
Sports.
I had them both from BBC Sports.
BBC Sport let him down and he managed to play a 2-man midfield, leaving him with 10 players.
10 men, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Do you want to name your central defensive midfielder yet?
No, that one's out. That's the jury's still out on that one.
Can't think of a name, can he?
Well, it's been a long day, hasn't it? Doing nothing. I'm trying to think if there's been any other moments on the Sports Sit Down where
last half an hour last week.
Oh, the banter cast from last week.
I mean, when me and my good pal Adam Westwood used to do it,
we had one episode.
We had a cracking time establishing ourselves.
That one episode where a third of the podcast was on fake sports.
Yeah, well, I thought it was quite
the dream team.
Yeah, we were guests.
I think also another mention goes to the Baldy himself when we had our friend Adam Bond on, and Joe was in his little flow of talking about a certain game, and then Adam decides to talk about something completely different.
Was it even? It might have been Wednesday United. It might have been the Steel City Derby. I mean, he interrupted me.
Yeah, and they just go
back to Liverpool or Watford or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember we had about 30 seconds on the Championship that week because he obviously didn't know.
Obviously before the podcast, I was like, Joe and Nathan will be doing quite a bit on Championship, talking about the games. Adam obviously was drafted in late on, just after our lecture. Joe's trying to go off on his little storytelling episodes about Sheffield United, and then Adam just comes along and brings up something completely different and takes over. Adam was at the wheel, like Ollie is.
See if next season we can get the Newcastle United expert, Will Hines, on.
Yeah,
the
Will Hines, if you're listening to this.
Coax him out.
Will, if you're listening to this, you are wanted for next year.
Sprinkle some Stone Island.
We might shoot it in West Street Live. That might help.
I feel like I did have a moment on the top of my in my head, but I've actually just, it's literally just evaporated from the top.
As it evaporates.
It's quite warm in this room, isn't it? So the water's very, it's evaporating pretty quickly.
Good biology for you there.
Wow.
Yeah, if anybody needs biology advice, you're looking at someone who did biology.
That means he must be great then.
I did get
obviously, me and Nathan never did biology at school, but.
When are we getting the beast, Mark Labette, on the podcast?
Oh, Sheffield United fan he is.
Is he?
Well, yeah. As he is a Sheffield United fan, maybe
Joe. We have got connections with him as well, haven't we? Because of we've got some cheeky pics with him.
At Beer Keller, yeah.
Yeah. Post-wife scandal. Pre-wife scandal.
That might be one of my favourite moments.
Sorry, pre-cousin scandal.
Second cousin, just like to clarify.
Oh, it makes it so much better.
Please don't sue us. But yeah, Joe will try and work on that over the summer, trying to get Mark
Labette. I'll tweet him every day.
Are you going to be watching Wimbledon over the summer, Joe?
Oh, that was what my moment was. Me talking about tennis. It was such a good.
I've got a great one.
What?
The darts.
Oh,
absolute bargain.
The darts. For any, we were told to. We were told. We weren't paid or anything. We were told. It's not like we were given a free table. For the darts varsity, and they were trying to rip you off, basically. They were saying 60 quid for a table, and I'm not gonna lie, I could go to IKEA and buy a table for 60 quid.
I just like to say, me and Josh, our opinions and ideas are not associated with whatever Joe's just said.
He's just a tag along on this podcast, so don't be distance him.
Last time I checked, we've all been in the same amount of episodes now.
I've been in more, but
No, you haven't.
We did one on our own.
Who's the host?
Who's the host? Well, yeah. I was, weren't I? Yeah. I've been the host.
For how many episodes?
And I was the host last week because I steered the ship where you wanted to finish on F1.
Okay.
How many episodes?
The soapbox away.
It's supposed to be 11th or 12th episode.
This is the 11th. Count, 11th. This
is. Is it the 11th?
I think it's 11th.
You and me have done it 10 weeks straight.
No, oh,
our
yeah.
Streaks are strong. His streaks
are. Your streaks are, yeah, God.
Sometimes a host, you know, has the more the responsibilities, has to have a bit of time off.
He's got a little tickly throat. A little tickly throat.
Have a sleep over or two.
Probably.
It is. This is the 11th episode. You're right.
Yeah.
No, it'll be. It's been good. I don't know if. Is this room open at all over the summer? When does the hubs. Like, when we're doing this at the student union, by the way.
We could possibly do a super special episode in May when we come back for exams.
Yeah.
Because I think the hub will be open then.
We could try and get our Geordie expert on.
It'd be right near the end of the season as well.
Well, right, yeah. No, yeah. I think it would have finished.
Would it?
That weekend just before.
Oh, wait, that
would be juicy, that
is
one.
We're the 14th of May, innit? So
yeah.
We just missed the FA Cup final, but
we could do a prediction for it and we could review.
Yeah,
this.
You might have more. We'd have so much F1 and tennis to catch up on.
Yeah.
And darts.
Preview to Wimbledon, which obviously comes along, I think it's June.
We'll be back full time in September, hopefully.
Yeah, it'd be nice to.
Back Claywood Massive, won't it?
Yeah. So we do hope that you've enjoyed these episodes. It's goodbye from me, your host, Josh.
Oof. Me, your standing host when Josh has got a cold or anything else, Joe.
Me, your football expert, Nathan.
Oh, and darts expert. And darts expert.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're off on our F1 soapboxes away. Catch you in a bit, guys.
Darts is a rip-off.
I'll see you later.